Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Pat Malicaro.
Tomasino getting some power play time here. He'll sweep it in front, scores! Glass goes to the net, and the Penguins get their second power play goal of this game, and it is a 3-1 lead with 8:17 to go in the second period.
Cody Glass with what would eventually be the game winner. Pittsburgh defeats the Sabres 5-2 tonight here in downtown Buffalo. Thanks for joining us on the postgame show. I'm Pat Malicaro. We'll head down to the locker room in a couple of moments. Paul Hamilton on his way to chat with members of the Sabres roster who fall 5-2 tonight to the Penguins. Don't forget, we'll hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as well. We want your thoughts on this one also. That power play goal from Glass, eventually the game winner. Pittsburgh would score again on the power play in the third, eventually going 3-5 on the man advantage tonight. Brian Rust adds his 18th of the season to make it 4-1 at the time. The Sabres would actually get a goal from Zach Benson with the goaltender pulled with just over 5 minutes to go in the third period. Benson scores, and you're thinking, Sabres are trying to make it close. They're within a couple of goals. Can they get one more to put a little pressure on Pittsburgh? And eventually, Alex Nedeljkovic, first goal of his NHL career as the goaltender scores all the way down the ice at the 17-18 mark of the third to cap the scoring. And for those of you who are tuned into the broadcast, it did sound like it was basically all Penguin fans left at that time. It was very loud in here after Nedeljkovic scored, allowing the Penguins to have that 5-2 lead, and that's where this one finishes tonight. I mentioned the Penguins go 3-4 on the power play. Buffalo 1-5 on the man advantage tonight. Owen Power actually opened the scoring at the 15-16 mark of the opening period for the lone power play goal tonight for the Sabres. Again, Buffalo 1-5 on the power play. Pittsburgh 3-4 on special teams tonight. That's your Dynabray.com power play update, powered by Dynabray Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. You can reach us at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can send me a tweet as well on your thoughts from this Sabres loss tonight at PatWGR, and we will read some of those throughout the course of the night as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. Another tough one for the Sabres tonight. Trying to build a little bit off of their victory against Carolina, and that's been part of the juxtaposition of this Sabres season, part of the frustration a little bit, if you will, from the fans and from the players. You play so well against Carolina in that you get the 4-2 win. Ryan McLeod gets the hat trick. You play so well against the Capitals, who points-wise, the best team in the league. They have been one of the better stories of the league for the last year plus. You get the better of them, and then nights where teams that are around you, teams that are right in the same situation or same positioning as you in the standings right around you, the Sabres have been unable to preserve leads, win those games, and in the case of tonight, not even get it to overtime and get one of those three-point games that the Sabres actually were able to get when they were in Pittsburgh earlier on in the year when it was a back-and-forth game in which the Penguins would win in overtime. And another night where the Sabres hold some of the top scorers. This is a night where Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, two players who have been well over a point per game in their history against Buffalo, coming into tonight, Crosby, 60 games, 85 points. That includes 29 goals. Evgeny Malkin, 54 games coming into tonight with 73 points, and neither get on the score sheet against the Sabres here of this one. So the Sabres hold the top two forwards, the top two point getters against the Sabres off the score sheet, but it's a night where Brian Rust has a goal, Cody Glass an assist and a goal, especially including that a power play tally in the second period. And as a result, the Sabres fall 5-2. Shots on goal tonight. The Sabres outshot Pittsburgh 42-19 in the game. The Sabres actually had 19 shots of their own in the third period as well. So they had plenty of shots on goal. But Nedeljkovic made some saves when he needed to. The Sabres, as we talked about with Paul Hamilton, both after the first and after the second, a couple of times missing the net, missing opportunities that could have made a difference in this game tonight, and it results in that loss to the Penguins here. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen makes, in the end, 14 saves, 18 shots on goal, 4 goals allowed, and the empty netter by Nedeljkovic, the final shot on goal for the Penguins in the game, in the victory here tonight. So for the Sabres, outshooting Pittsburgh, did they outchance them? I don't know, and maybe that's something we'll talk to Paul Hamilton about later on. Another thing, though, Paul was looking at the block shots through the first two periods, something that he thought the Sabres did well in the first 20 minutes. It eventually, in the end of the night, the Penguins had more block shots, 16 to Buffalo's 14. Sabres were led by Matias Samuelsson in that category. And we'll head down to the locker room now as Paul's joined by Zach Benson.
Zach, you had the one goal lead. It took, what, about 27 seconds for them to tie it and take the lead. What happened where you go from 1-0 up to 2-2 down or 2-1 down and then never got back again?
Yeah, I mean, I thought for most of the game we mostly dominated. I mean, those are games you got to find a way. You know, they got a couple power play goals on us, and that's kind of uncharacteristic for us. You know, we're usually pretty good. So, you know, I thought for the most part we dominated, but you got to find a way to come out with 2 points.
You did have, you know, the 42 shots, but on their goals, too, it was some sloppy play that led to their goals, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had a couple breakdowns, and, you know, that's where we kind of went wrong. It's just a couple breakdowns at the wrong time, and they capitalized. They got guys over there that score at will, and, you know, they make you pay on mistakes. But, yeah, that's mainly kind of what I saw.
You guys had plenty of shots on goal. Do you feel like, in terms of quality, that you guys did enough that you should have gotten a couple more past them?
I mean, you'd think. I mean, you look in the second, we had probably 4 great A's. I didn't think we did a great job getting traffic there, by no means. But when you shoot from those spots, you know, as much as you want traffic, you know, we got some elite shooters that can pick their spots from where they're shooting from.
In the first period, I didn't think you guys were great with the puck, but yet you had some, I think you had 8 block shots. I mean, you almost made up for it with some of the plays you made with blocking shots, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought a couple guys laid out there. And, you know, sometimes that leads to offense, too. I feel like we had a couple big blocks at the right time, and we were gone the other way on an odd man rush. So, you know, I thought you know, some guys did a really good job of getting in lanes and, you know, saved a scoring chance from happening.
Lindy was aggressive by pulling Ukko for the extra attacker with over 5 minutes left to play. Once you score your goal, how are you guys feeling at that point? Because you had a push going until, you know, their goalie puts it in.
Yeah, I mean, we're confident bunch. I mean, when you're down 3, I think we still have a chance. I think everyone thinks that on the bench, and you get that one and you just want to keep pushing. You know, obviously, we're in a situation where we need points, and you know, so there's no other choice than to pull the goalie.
Zach Benson, and we have Tage Thompson on the other side of the dressing room here.
Earlier in the year, and you guys settled down a bit, but it kind of came back to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it going into tonight. Is they're a team that thrives off the power play, and we wanted to stay disciplined. And I think some of those calls were a little iffy, but can't control that. Obviously, you got to find a way and kill those penalties off. And if we get our chances on the power play, we got to find a way to score. I think we had plenty of chances to score tonight and make it a different game. And you know, obviously, goalie makes some big saves at some key points in the game for them to give them some life. And yeah, just couldn't find the net.
To get it up to 3-1, their 3 goals, did you guys make some poor puck decisions on those?
To be honest with you, I thought we played a pretty tight game. I know the one goal, I think Beauvillier got behind us and scored on a breakaway there. And then they score on the power play, I think twice maybe, was it? Mm-hmm. I thought we played a rock solid game, to be honest. I don't think that scored is very indicative of how the game should have turned out, but that's hockey. Sometimes that happens. We got to find a way to score. Myself, first and foremost, obviously had a lot of clean looks tonight and a lot of chances to score. And if I bury a few of those, it's a different kind of game.
Thanks, Tage Thompson, and Owen Powers right here. We'll go right over to him. Oh, and we talked at the end of the first period where, you know, you had scored and gotten the lead. What happened after that, which kind of got you guys behind the eight ball?
Yeah, I mean, obviously their first goal, I mean, got in behind us. And, you know, that's a tough one to give up. And I think just kind of they capitalized on their chances from there. I mean, I thought we were doing a pretty good job on the penalty kill, and then they would get a chance and score. So I think that was kind of the big difference in the game tonight, is they capitalized on their chances and we weren't able to.
Do you feel the chances you had were good enough and you guys just missed on your chances?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the game, I mean, I think Tom himself had three or four great A's, Bo had three great A's. Like, you know, if a couple of those go in, it's a totally different game.
I know it's tough to look back on the first goal of the game, just given the way that it went, but scoring on the power play there for you, I know that that's probably an area that you want to make more of an impact on a regular basis. How big was that for coming, just to use the shot and, you know, for you guys as a group to get one there?
Yeah, obviously it's nice anytime you could get one. But I think for us, I mean, we had opportunities later in the game and we just weren't good enough on the power play. So, you know, you look at what their power play did tonight, and if we're not able to match it, it's tough to win.
If I would have said before the game you're going to shut down Crosby and Malkin, you probably would have said, well, we're not going to give up five goals. It's kind of weird, I mean, to be able to shut those two down and keep them off the score sheet, yet they still got five.
I mean, it doesn't really matter to keep them off the score sheet when you give up five. So, I mean, I don't really know what to say to that, to be honest.
Thanks, Owen. Owen Power on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul. That was Owen Power. Tage Thompson on the postgame as well with us here as the Sabres fall to the Penguins 5-2 tonight. Was mentioning some of the final stats from the game as well. The block shots in favor of Pittsburgh 16-14. We also heard from Zach Benson, who had one of the two Sabre goals tonight, along with Owen Power. Those stats of the game are brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. We'll head back downstairs in just a couple of moments for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff and his postgame comments. We've heard recently from Lindy, very pointed and very you know, to the point, if you will, not sugarcoating it in terms of his thoughts on whether it's some blown coverages, losing leads, what have you. Lindy Ruff not one to hide the fact that this team for the Sabres, unfortunately, unable to preserve leads. Tonight, it was a lead in the first period. Owen Power scores first for the Sabres at the 15-16 mark, a power play goal, and then it was Pittsburgh coming back with after the first period, the Sabres had a 1-0 lead, and then two goals in less than 30 seconds. Ricard Raquel on the power play. Anthony Beauvillier. You heard Tage Thompson say, really, that chance for Beauvillier where he got behind Henry Okiharju in the Sabres' defense on a breakaway shot, really one of the few times that Thompson thought that the Sabres really had a blown assignment in the game tonight. And you heard from Thompson thinking that the team pretty much played a tight game in terms of tight defensively and playing it is the way they wanted outside of that chance for a lot of the night. But in the end, the Penguins are the ones that come away with the victory tonight. And for the Sabres falling further behind, this is one of the teams in Pittsburgh. If you want to get back in the conversation about being in the playoff chase, a regulation win is something that was necessary today. Of the two matchups against the Penguins, the Sabres have 1 point out of four potential points against the Penguins, including that matchup in October. Let's head downstairs. Head coach Lindy Ruff meeting with the media.
I mean, the offshore. Well,
so the biggest difference was, you know, first, they out-special teamed us, but when you have the number of opportunities we had to to put the puck in the back of the net. Like second period, you know, from 2-on-1s to breakaways to, you know, Tomer point blank 2-3 times in the slot, backdoor plays. You got to convert. I mean, I'll give the goalie credit. He made some good saves, but I thought we made him look too good.
That on UPL, especially that. I mean, the power play goal, glass is open in the slot, but would you have liked to have a couple
I think,
of bigger...
They took advantage of our, you know, our big mistakes on the PK. They made the same mistakes. We didn't take advantage. You either get a big save or you don't get a save. We needed a save. We probably needed a save at the start of the third period on, you know, we're a little bit over-aggressive. We probably need a save there, and we're inches away from turning that one into a 2-on-1.
You guys have gotten better with that, but tonight kind of bit you. I mean, just
a couple of calls. I mean, a little bit iffy on a couple of calls.
When you did for the extra attacker, what'd you think about just the response right away from your group and getting that goal?
Well, we got the one. We almost had a second right after it. You know, really believe that the way things were going, the amount of pressure we put on them that I contemplated when it went 4-on-4 at the 10 or 11 minute mark of pulling them then. But I thought we get down to 5 or 6, that's enough time. And really, if we bury that second one, we've got a great opportunity to get right back in it.
Maybe the biggest turning point, you had a shorthanded breakaway. Yeah. Miss, and then they come right down to score it on the power play. Would you agree?
Could have been, for sure. Could have been 2-2. And they'd turn around and go the other way and make it 3-1. And these are the opportunities I talked about. We had plenty of great opportunities. I thought we skated well. A little bit of our puck movement early in the game from our Dieter forwards was a little bit choppy. But when you have the opportunities, the odd-numbered rushes and the breakaways, and you only get so many of those. And tonight was a night where we had... You know, we probably had 10 to 15. And, you know, you end up scoring one goal 5-on-5.
You hit momentum, you know, coming in with the win over the Hurricanes. You guys played pretty well tonight. Just how do you keep them in a good spot?
We were in a good spot. I think we were in a good spot tonight. We came out good. We, like I said, we made the mistake at the start of the second. But just as Paul mentioned, we buried that opportunity. We're sitting at 2-2. And we didn't. I liked our practice yesterday. I liked the way we skated today. Our putting the puck in the back of the net was our biggest issue. Thanks.
All right, that was Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following Buffalo's 5-2 loss to Pittsburgh here tonight. Penguins with the victory, and the Sabres fall 2 points further behind one of the teams they're trying to chase down as they try and head towards a potential wild card spot. Pittsburgh gets the win over the Sabres 5-2. We're going to take a timeout here along the post-game show. When we come back, we'll have some highlights from tonight's loss. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's final thoughts on this one, get connected with some of your final thoughts as well. You can, if you want to keep listening to our post-game show, you can head over to WGR550.com or find us on the Odyssey app at WGR550 as well. I'm Pat Malacaro. We're going to take a timeout. Be back with more post-game next right here along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Michael Bunting with the backhand in front. Mahalia stopped by Luukkonen at the far post. And that was Mono a Mono over there. And now the Sabres.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen with the save for Buffalo, as that was one of his 14 saves in the loss tonight. Save of the Game is brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back into the post-game show. I'm Pat Malacaro. As the Sabres fall 5-2 to the Penguins, coming up, we'll get connected with some of your thoughts from this loss here tonight. We'll also hear the highlights from all the goals of this one, which includes one from Alex Nedeljkovic. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton about that in just a second. Also get some final scores from around, not only the NHL, but the world of sports. But we want to remind you that your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. And let's head back downstairs right now as we're joined by Paul Hamilton here on the post-game show. Well, Paul, the old saying in sports is, if you're around long enough, you'll see something new all the time. We saw that the other night when the Sabres score the empty net goal without a shot to make it 4-2 and defeat Carolina. Tonight, everybody in the arena, and you and I as well, saw the first time in NHL history that a goaltender had a goal and an assist in the same game.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a goalie go live. If I did, it might have been Mika Nornin in the AHL. I would have been a long, long time ago. I don't believe I have. I think that's the first time I've seen a goalie go live. And, really, when you break it down, I don't feel the Sabres played as well as they thought. But they did have some glorious scoring opportunities, and really the game turned midway through the second period. Joakim Harju sitting in the penalty box for tripping, and Malenstein sends in Benson shorthanded, and they get a save from Nedeljkovic, and actually he winds up getting an assist from the save, because Tomasino then brings it up and finds Glass in the circle. He's wide open for the shot, but I just thought Lukanen was back too far in his net. You could maybe ask for a save there, but that to me is a turning point. It's 2-1. You get the breakaway by Benson shorthanded. He doesn't score, and the Penguins turn right around and come back and score on the power play. And what could have been a 2-2 game now turns into a 3-1 game. And now their heads are hanging, and now it's 3-1. And just to me, that was the real turning point in the hockey game. That if Benson scores, the place goes crazy. I mean, you had almost a full house here. If there wasn't a full house, it was pretty close. So the fans go crazy on a shorthanded goal. You've tied it at 2, and maybe you've got the momentum going your way. Who knows? But at least you'd like to take your chances with it.
It was a sellout tonight, 19,070 here at the game. And Hurtage Thompson mentioned to you and everybody downstairs that he thought the team played outside of the Beauvillier chance where he got behind the defense. Pretty much a tight game tonight in terms of at least defending against the opponent. But I did want to touch on the special teams with you as well, as Pittsburgh goes 3-4 on the power play, something that was talked about in the room and with Lindy Ruff as well. And I understand that the Sabres didn't like all the penalties called against them, and sure, you get 4 power play chances, you're more likely to score than if you only get 1 if you're the Penguins. But 3 power play goals out of 4 tries, that's a big difference tonight.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, you take away the empty net goal, they've got 4, and 3 of them are on the power play. And usually the Sabres, at least for the most part, I would say for about 15 games, have done some pretty darn good penalty killing.
Oh, yeah.
But they certainly didn't do much good as far as the penalty killing went in this game. The Penguins really took advantage, scored some power play goals they probably shouldn't have had. Rust in the third period. Lukanen's got to stop that. It's just, yeah, I know he's open in the circle, but he's got to make a save there. It's a pretty easy save for him, and he doesn't make it. The breakaway goal by Beauvillier, I mean, it's a good play by Pittsburgh to spring him as he gets behind Joakim Harju. Joakim Harju can't let that guy get behind him, but it's a bang-bang play. And again, you need a big save there from your goaltender on a breakaway to be able to, stay in the hockey game. So, yeah, the penalty killing let them down. I've seen better games from their goaltender. I thought you could have got a couple of big saves that you didn't get from him. And there were other saves he did make. I think a lot of the Sabres' good chances, they shot wide. They missed the net with. And, it's that was part of the problem, too. I don't know. You can tell me. I didn't sit there and thought Nedeljkovic and thought to myself, wow, what a save. He made solid saves. He was in there. And to make those, over 40 shots, he's got to make the saves. I mean, but he didn't let any bad goals in, which really was what's going to have to beat him. I didn't think they had enough guys around the net for the most part. When they had Benson going to the net on the 6-on-5, they scored. Took a good pass from Thompson, and he scored on it. You were able to get that one. But I don't know. They had a lot of shots, there's no question, but I never thought to myself, what a save. I just thought, You know, they shot a lot at him. They missed the net a lot. You know, yeah, you got to produce those chances. I get it. But I don't know. I just disagree that they dominate as much as they said they did.
Yeah, and Paul, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to what we talked about after the second as well. Yes, give the Sabres credit. 42 shots on goal tonight. Nedeljkovic lets in two. But I think, to your point, there was not that traffic in front of the net where Nedeljkovic was able to see the puck. The shots were at him. And Dustin Tokarski didn't make those saves the other night. Alex Nedeljkovic does, and that's difference.
Exactly. I mean, there wasn't a goal where you say, oh, he's got to have that one. He made all the saves, and usually if you're going to take 42?
Yes.
Shots, you know, something goofy might get by him. But he made all the saves he had to make. You know, Buffalo scored early. The power goal he was screened on, that they did get traffic to the net, the power play goal. And then they score 6-on-5, where Thompson makes a nice pass. Benson times it perfectly. He gets the layup. Nothing that Nedeljkovic can do on that play. So, you know, that's a good goal for them, too. But I didn't see him fighting for his ice or having to fight for his ice or too many screens. I mean, there were some shots right around the goal area. But a lot of the ones that, you know, guys were open on, they missed. You know, they tipped it wide or put it right into him. Again, I don't want to take anything away from him. He did make, 40 saves?
Yes.
I mean, that's you know, definitely between getting a goal and an assist and 40 saves, that's first star territory. But as I said, I don't think I ever, the whole game, thought to myself, wow, what a save.
Paul Hamilton joining me, Pat Malacaro here on the post-game show. Just a couple more moments with Paul. And one thing you and I had talked about through at least the first period was the block shots. And I want to give you this, Paul. Through two periods, the Sabres were credited with 13 block shots to just 8 for the Penguins. Pittsburgh finishes the night with 16. So not only did Buffalo record those 19 shots in the third period, but they were credited with 8 more block shots. So maybe that's where some of the thought from the locker room of the creating the opportunities, or at least playing better than maybe the score indicates, maybe that's where some of that comes from. There were about 30 chances in that third period.
They definitely were chances there. There's no question about that. But, you know, when, you know, Tage Thompson, you know, came down the right side on a 2-on-1, missed the net. How many times have you seen him score that goal? And he was upset with himself that he didn't score on that. He knows he had some grade-A opportunities in that game. I think he have a one-timer from the circle? He did get his one-timer, and I think he just put it right into Nedeljkovic. You know, we've seen him score how many times from there. They've had some one-timers all set up right near the end, the 6-on-5. I think the one Lindy was talking about was Peterka. They sent the puck over to him in the circle, and he had a wide-open one-timer, and he fanned on it. That you know the kind of shot Peterka has. And I've seen him score that goal many times. So, you know, who knows what could have happened if he connects there instead of fanning on it. So, you know, a lot of, you know, chances where they missed the net. Or, you know, Malenstein, you know, as I said, sent in Benson. Kozak got in there coming down the slot. He missed the net. I believe Lafferty was the one that sent him in, and he shoots wide. So there certainly were enough opportunities to be in this hockey game, but, you know, I just thought Pittsburgh worked hard to get some very good opportunities, and Buffalo worked hard to miss a lot of good opportunities.
Sabres fall to Pittsburgh 5-2 tonight. Buffalo will now head out west following this loss tonight. They'll be in Seattle on Monday afternoon, 4 o'clock face-off, and that's where I want to go next with you, Paul. Had a couple of people reaching out on social media after the loss tonight, wondering what the Sabres might do with the goaltending next week. You've got the back-to-back games, Seattle Monday, Vancouver Tuesday night. So you got the day game in Seattle, Tuesday night in Vancouver. We know how well Devin Levi's played down in Rochester. James Reimer here, the backup behind Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Kind of, what do you think, reading the tea leaves of what the goaltending could be next week?
If it were me, I'd go with Reimer first. Luukkonen looks like he might need a break. So I think I would go with Reimer first and let him go Monday and Luukkonen on Tuesday. I don't know exactly, because they're going to have tomorrow off as far as skating, and then they're going to fly to Seattle and practice in Seattle on Sunday. So he will have some time to get over the flight and that type of thing. But, you know, he played a lot last year, and I never felt that he you know, ran down. But he's kind of going back and forth now. He got a shutout and then gave up five, and then played really good and only gave up two against Carolina on 37 shots. And then this game, I don't think it was a good game for him, even though he gave up four in this one. And I didn't think it was a good game for him. So it just seems like he's kind of going back and forth. And I guess I have to wonder, is he wearing down more than – because I didn't see that last year when he played, 50-some-odd games and played most of them down the stretch. He played more than almost any goaltender after January 1st. But if you know, that's something that Lindy Ruff will talk to Mike Bales about, and Mike Bales would know if Luukkonen is getting worn down or not. And if he is, then maybe you go with Reimer first.
All right, that's Sabres' next opponent, Seattle, on Monday afternoon. Paul, let's wrap on this. What does a successful road trip for you look like? These four games coming up, you've got a potential 8 points. What's successful Western road trip look like?
Well, you know,
forgetting the playoff picture, but just in terms of, you know, you've got 8 points potentially.
Well,
there.
You can't forget about it. They almost got to go 3-0-1. They almost got to get points in all of them, you know, and look at it that way. And, you know, maybe go 3-1. I mean, 3-1 is a successful road trip for sure, but in the spot they're in, maybe 3-1 is not good enough. Maybe you got to go 3-0-1. And, I mean, they're. You know, they're not making the playoffs. I mean, we know they're not making the playoffs. I mean, it's just they're not mathematically out of it, but they're not leapfrogging eight teams. They're just not. So it doesn't matter what kind of streak they go on. They're just not leapfrogging eight teams. So, yeah, normally a 3-1 road trip would be excellent, but in the spot they're in, I think they got to go 3-0-1.
And that's up next for the Sabres beginning Monday at 4. Paul, you and I will have pregame. That game will be over on our sister station, WWKB, 1520 a.m., with reaction from the Bills-Ravens game on Sunday over on WGR. You and I will be on KB on Monday, so looking forward to that. Thanks for all your work through pregame, during the game, and here with us postgame tonight.
And I need a mulligan here.
Yes.
Down from the locker room. Pat, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Sabres fall to the Penguins 5-2 tonight. You heard me pose the question to Paul about the Sabres goaltending rotation for next week. Thanks to Tom from West Seneca for tweeting that in. As we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, get your local Verizon store today. We also have to take a couple of phone calls here as well, as we have folks standing on the line. And let's go to Charlie in Lancaster first in the postgame. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, guys. You know, it's a very disappointing night, you know, as probably many people are feeling around Buffalo. You know, just a couple questions. I don't know. I know this season's over. I don't know what we can do. I mean, we got to trade a lot of guys. We got to get these guys out of here. I feel like they don't respect the crest that they're playing for on their chest. You know, I mean, it's tough to blame. Honestly, now it's tough to blame guys like Kevin Adams. You know, Terry could, you know, spend a little more in the pocketbook. But it's on the players, you know. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. And maybe, you know, I would hate to get rid of the Sabres, but, I mean, Jesus, bring back, like the indoor football league, you know, the soccer, whatever that team was. You know, we got lingerie football.
All right, Charlie, appreciate the call here tonight. Yeah, I mean, this for the Sabres, now you're looking towards the future. Regardless of if you can go on a run of, you know, 7-8 game winning streak, get yourself back in somewhat of the conversation, you're looking at players like that are like a Jason Zucker who can add value. Certainly he's led by example with the Sabres team. Could he be valuable to somebody with his playoff experience prior to joining the Sabres this season and what he has done for the team this year? So you can set yourself up for the future by making moves like that as well, not having to trade away what you think the core is going forward, if you feel that's the correct way to go. And we'll see how the Sabres handle things. There's quite a bit of time between now and the trade deadline. Again, we appreciate Charlie's phone call as we got connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. We'll have a look at the rest of the night in the NHL. It's a light night, and a look around sports also coming up. But first, let's take a listen to some of the highlights from tonight's Sabres loss to the Penguins. It started out on a positive note for Buffalo, as Evgeny Malkin was in the penalty box. The first power play of the night for the Sabres was a four-minute high-sticking double minor by Evgeny Malkin, and the Sabres would capitalize in the second 2 minutes.
Standing all alone, one-on-one with Nedeljkovic. Power holds it, creates a lane, fires, scores! A power play goal from who else? Owen Power, and it is 1-0 Buffalo.
Owen Power's sixth goal of the season, the lone power play goal for Buffalo tonight, 15-16 mark of the opening stanza. Zach Benson, Bowen Byram, the assist on the goal. We'll hear from Benson again coming up later. Buffalo would hold the 1-0 lead through 20 minutes, but early on in the second, a power play opportunity for the Penguins allows them to even the score.
Below the goal line down in the corner, Russ brings it up, quick shot, scores. Raquel released that one right away, and it's a tie game. Each team with a power play goal at one apiece.
Ricard Raquel gets his 23rd of the season, 1:41 into the second period, and just 27 seconds later, the Penguins would take the lead.
Here's a pass straight up. Ice scores! Beauvillier and the Penguins, with a couple of quick goals here, have taken a 2-1 lead.
2-1 at the time. Anthony Beauvillier's 10th of the year, Cody Glass making the pass that sprung Beauvillier for the breakaway goal, and then Glass once again will be heard from later in the second.
Tomasino getting some power play time here. He'll sweep it in front, scores! Glass goes to the net, and the Penguins get their second power play goal of this game, and it is a 3-1 lead with 8:17 to go in the second period.
So Cody Glass, the assist on Beauvillier's goal, and then at the 11:43 mark of the second period, his second goal of the season is a power play marker. Tomasino and Nedeljkovic with the assist. So the Penguins goaltender Alex Nedeljkovic getting one of the assists on the goal for the Penguins, as we would hear from him once again later on. We'll hear from him in a moment. But again, early in the third period, another early goal for Pittsburgh extends the lead.
Bunting playing it back. Backhand by Grizzlick. He finds Rust for shot, scores! The Penguins get yet another power play goal. That is their third of the game. It's a 4-1 lead.
Brian Rust, 18th of the season, 1:09 into the third period. Matt Grizzlick and Michael Bunting getting the assists, making it a 4-1 Penguin lead. The Sabres would pull the goaltender. You heard Lindy Ruff in the post-game press conference thought about pulling Ukko Pekkalukkanen earlier on a 4-on-4, but it was with about 5 minutes to go in the third, the Sabres would get one back.
Rasmus Dahlin drops it back. Alex Tuck to Thompson. Thompson in front, they score! Over at the far post, Benson goes to the net, taps it in, and the Sabres now down by two with 5:14 remaining in the third period.
Zach Benson's second point of the night, his eighth goal of the season at the 14:46 mark of the third period. Tage Thompson with a pass to set up the goal. He and Alex Tuck receiving the assists. Sabres had a couple of more opportunities with the goaltender pulled, one able to score. And at the other end, it was Alex Nedeljkovic capping a historic night.
Power, here they come. It's a shoot-in. Nedeljkovic behind the net. He's going to have a goal at the empty net. Nedeljkovic puts it right in the middle of the net. Nedeljkovic then does his own version of the leap into the Penguins bench after he scores an empty net goal.
Alex Nedeljkovic setting NHL history tonight with his first goal of his NHL career. The call from Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray right there at the 17:18 mark of the third period becomes the first goaltender in NHL history to have a goal and an assist in the same game. Nedeljkovic has now had a goal at three different levels of the professional ranks in the ECHL, AHL, and now the NHL, and that goal tonight is our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So the Sabres fall 5-2 to Pittsburgh tonight. They'll fall 2 points further in the standings. We'll take a look at those in a minute, and we'll get a look at the out-of-town scores in a second. Also want to bring you the injury report tonight, brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. Talked about a couple of the times tonight, Yuri Kulik getting close, potentially available for the Sabres on Monday in Seattle, while Jordan Greenway, the other player on the injured reserve for Buffalo, right now. So the Sabres potentially getting a little bit healthier for this Western road trip, which starts on Monday. They'll have Vancouver on Tuesday night. That'll be a 10 o'clock face-off right here along the network. And then after a day off in Calgary on Thursday and Edmonton on Saturday, Buffalo's next home game will be 10 days from now, 11 days from now, on January 28th, hosting the Boston Bruins. Boston idle tonight. They're sitting in a wild card spot. There was only one other game in the league tonight. Let's take a look around the NHL. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. As we send things over to Jonathan Colesfield, I know, Jonathan, not only the NHL, but we have college hockey tonight, even some Bills news.
Yes, we do. The one other game going on tonight is a final down in Raleigh. The Hurricanes win 3-2 over the Golden Knights. Seth Jarvis with two goals in that one and the game winner. Over in Rochester tonight, the Amherst fall to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms 3-2 in a shootout. And some college hockey. Local Mercyhurst takes care of Niagara 5-1. And down at Penn State, they are winners over Canisius 4-0. To the Bills, coming up this weekend, only one person on the injury report for Sunday's game against the Ravens. That is running back Ray Davis. After suffering a concussion last week, he is listed as questionable for Sunday's game. And one other note from the Bills, the report that Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, has completed an interview for a head coaching job with the Saints. Pat, back to you.
Yeah, thanks, John. That news came out. Also, the Chicago Bears announcing that they have completed a virtual interview with Joe Brady. Oh. So a couple of interviews tonight for the Bills offensive coordinator. We know wall-to-wall coverage here on WGR on Sunday afternoon. 6:30 kickoff for the Bills and Ravens. You, lifelong Western New Yorker.
Yes.
I'm a lifelong Western New Yorker. I have not been to a Bills home playoff game since they lost the Jaguars. I had been to virtually every home playoff game to that point.
That's incredible.
It was fun as a kid. But you have been at the stadium for many of these recent
Yes.
Josh Allen era home playoff games. Is this the most anticipated home playoff game of the Josh Allen era?
I would say so.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no, you're good. I would say so. Obviously, last year against Kansas City was the, up until that point, you know, slaying the dragon, and unfortunately they didn't take care of that last year. I would say for all of, and we talked about this earlier off air, all of the hype between Jackson and Allen this year, specifically those two players against each other.
Who's going to be the MVP?
Let alone the teams. You know, a lot of people would say they're two of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs as it is anyways. The super team aspect with Lamar and his other, you know, nine other Pro Bowlers or eight other Pro Bowlers.
Don't forget Derrick Henry.
Yes, Derrick Henry. And, you know, it's funny with Derrick Henry, too. The Bills, you almost, I mean, I don't have it right in front of me. As history goes with the Titans with Henry, I feel like you could flip a coin on the games where they stifled him and then he just runs all over them.
But it's the stiff arm to Josh Norman that you remember.
Yes.
Or this year, the first play on offense
right.
for the Ravens that virtually ended that Sunday night
yes.
game. That's what you remember because it's such a memorable play, and the Titans and now the Ravens win those games in the
yes.
end.
And for me, you know, it's I'm always I'm not cautious. I'm rarely the one that's pumping my chest going into a game. You know, whether it's between friends or colleagues or whoever, I'm usually the one that's always just, like, nervous in the moment for everything leading up to it and all. So, you know, obviously I'm mentally trying to prepare myself for another home division loss. You know, I've luckily enough that my family's had season tickets for many years, and I've been to the last handful of wild card games, and they've been great. And unfortunately, The next
round is the right with the Bengals,
yeah, yeah.
the Chiefs.
Yes.
So in Kansas City once,
yep.
home against the Bengals, at home against Kansas City last year, and now can you defeat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? That's one step. And then don't forget tomorrow the divisional round begins. The first game we'll know. We as in people
the
in Western
public,
New York
yep.
will know whether or not the Bills or Ravens would be hosting the following week, or whether they'd be going to Kansas City. The Chiefs, who have not looked like world beaters, but give them credit, they win the one seed. whether it be a last-second field goal block, what have you, two-time defending Super Bowl champs, will host the Texans tomorrow. Should be a pretty good game. Never count the Chiefs out.
Right. I mean, for me, I mean, you look at the few things that the Houston Texans do well, and you go, okay, well, maybe they can take care of business on the road. You know, they played well last week. I just can't imagine Mahomes losing at home. Not even the AFC Championship. Just a wild card game, a division game. Like, it's so like in the past of him not succeeding in the playoffs, you know, and especially at Arrowhead.
And then, you know, to draw a little bit of a parallel, Tom Brady and the Patriots never lost at home until Joe Flacco and the Ravens go into
right
Foxborough and win a playoff game there. So, yeah, I mean, until it happens, we've seen the Chiefs fall behind and have to have big comebacks in the second halves, big comebacks in the divisional round at home to get a victory, you know, for Bills fans. So it's a fun weekend. You know, a lot of times in sports, the first round or the first two rounds are the more exciting, and especially with the 2 weeks off between the conference championship and the Super Bowl, can take a little while to get the game going. But virtually last week, the games were pretty much blowouts.
Right, right. And going into this weekend, you know, it's always funny because I go back and forth of wanting them to be like the early game on the weekend or the – because, like, you sit through the other games and you say – oh, man, I wish they could just win and then you can enjoy the rest of the games and not have to worry about it. But we will watch the other three games happen, and come Sunday night, it'll be a cold, dark night at the stadium, and we'll see what happens. And, I mean, obviously I'm excited for it. It's just always, always nervousness. And, you know, being there last weekend, you know, my brother Brian and I are there, and halftime comes, and we're like, okay, I don't know that I should be nervous about this game, because I've sat there for majority of the games this season, and third quarter comes, and you're like, okay, there's the Bills.
Right.
Right? You know, no matter who the opponent
they
was
they get the ball
year.
In the third quarter, they score,
yes.
And whether the route is on.
And whether it's just to take a one-score lead or a two-score lead, all of a sudden you go, between the start of the third and the middle of the fourth, you're like, wow, this is the team that shows up every time at home in the second half. And whether they had the lead in the first half or it was a tie game or they were losing, like the home opener, you know, you just expect it. It hopefully, whatever happens in the first half, that Bills team comes out in the second half and puts on a show. And hopefully it's a fun victory in the second half like it was last week.
And we shall see. 6:30 kickoff on Sunday right here on WGR. Day full of coverage, starting with breakfast with the Bills, 10 a.m., coverage starts. Derek Kramer and Joe Calley will have that for you. 1 o'clock, Jeremy and Nate will take over, leading into countdown to kickoff, where Nate and Joe DiBiase lead into the Bills Network coverage of pregame. Chris Brown, Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. They'll bring you all the action, Bills and Ravens at 6:30. And then postgame, Shope and the Bulldog will be there, win or lose, to take the reactions from the locker room, from the fans. And don't forget the overtime show with Nate Geary. And then again on Monday, the reaction, win or lose. It'll be a Buffalo football Monday here in Western New York. Of course, it'll be Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And many of you will be off on Monday, and you'll be able to react to the Bills game against the Ravens. And with the wall-to-wall coverage, including Buffalo football Monday, that means Sabres and Kraken, 4 p.m. faceoff. That coverage will begin at 3 p.m. Paul Hamilton and I will have pregame coverage starting at 3. That will be over on our sister station, WWKB, 1520 a.m., 4 o'clock puck drop, and then Tuesday night the Sabres right back at it against Vancouver. Before we wrap things up, mention the standings for a moment. Sabres failed to get a point tonight, now 45 games into the season, 39 points. That is last place in the Atlantic, in the Eastern Conference in Atlantic Division. For Pittsburgh, now through 47 games, 46 points. They move into a three-way tie, just 3 points back of the Bruins with their win tonight. Boston occupies that last wild card spot with 49 points. The Penguins, Flyers, and Red Wings for Detroit, they've won 8 of their last 10 to get within 3 points of a playoff spot. They have 46 points. How about Columbus? With all that went on towards the end of the offseason, and they, through 45 games, have 50 points and lead the wild card standings for the Eastern Conference. So quite a great story coming out of Columbus this year.
I will chime in on that. And as the rooting interest wanes here in Western New York, not that, you know, you sit there and root for other Eastern Conference teams, knowing what the playoffs have looked like in this conference,
yes,
I would love to see a new team in. And if it is Columbus, great. Obviously, with the good story, you know, coming off the terrible offseason they had. So, you know, any change to the Eastern Conference playoffs that have been basically the same teams for the last 5-7 years.
Columbus was the team that eliminated Tampa as the top team in the conference in the 2019 playoffs,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And it was the shocking exit that really forced Tampa Bay to look at things, and they would go to the Cup Finals the next 3 years. But it was that shocking first-round exit by the Columbus Blue Jackets at their hands that really shook things up.
Yep. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, as we talk every night after the Sabres game about, you know, if they could just string 4, 5, 6 together, they would finally see some movement. And Columbus has done that. And, you know, they were playing better in the standings, obviously, throughout this first half of the year. But they're jumping up in the mix now, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, leading the wild card right now. Sabres will be back at it Monday night, 4 o'clock puck drop. John, thanks for all your work tonight on the broadcast. Is and getting set for the Bills on Sunday was fun to chat.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be back here in a week and a half for the next home game, too. Yep. I'll be back for you.
January 28th, Sabres and Bruins will be here between now and then. 4 games against the Western Conference beginning Monday afternoon. 4 o'clock face-off against Seattle, followed by matchups against Vancouver on Tuesday, Calgary Thursday, and Edmonton on Saturday afternoon as well. That's going to put a wrap on our post-game show here tonight. I want to thank everybody that helped out along the way, including Mike Shope and the Bulldog on pregame tonight. Our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. For our engineer, Tom Maddy. Our reporter, Paul Hamilton. And our work of Jonathan Koziel here at KeyBank Center, along with Evan DePasquale, our network producer. I'm Pat Malacarl. I'll talk to you Monday afternoon, again over on WWKB 1520 AM, as the Sabres take on the Seattle Kraken. That's when we'll talk to you next, right here along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.